WNST Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. I got the night light on. I got the moving trucks out. Shout out to John Von Paris and our friends from Von Paris. Going to be moving me from the city to the county where this man was once the county executive. Our wise conversations continue here. This is going to be a really good one, Don Mohler, because like when you get journalists on that I
you
have read
it.
And know
you
and have never
it.
Talked to, this is the real... It's nice having the politicians on to lie to me and the football coaches and like all of that. But when
Come on.
Real like meat and potatoes people that like hang out and do real work and are making a career switch, this is going to be a good one. So, Don, good day to you. How are you? Happy New Year.
I'm doing well. Hey, what realtor sold your magic condo down there?
Well,
what realtor?
That would be Jeff Mohler of Mohler & Gary Realty. And he's following along on our Twitter at Mohler Homes. Jeff was on a show last week arguing football with me and talking about good coaching and bad coaching and
there
leadership and injuries and all that. So,
well, you do get
closing
costs.
So,
you do get a little, he's the expert in closing costs. You do get a little giddy up in your step when we bring on a real journalist. And there aren't many more real journalists and a lady that's got quite a journey underway than someone who's been in the business. We'll nail you down, Liz, as to how long it's actually been. I think the son's almost 37 years.
We were colleagues. So this is
35.
Yes.
35. So Liz Bowie, who's covered everything there is to cover at the Sun. I joked with Liz in a discussion a couple months back when we were on with some other folks. I said on Facebook the other day when her buddy Peter Jensen was wishing her well, I said, I still think I go to sleep at night with Liz's now Don ringing in my ear because I would say something to Liz the way I wanted it to be said. And Liz would inevitably say, now Don. And I knew that wasn't the way I put it, wasn't quite enough. So
that's the same
Liz,
way
welcome.
I say to John Harbaugh. Now, John, really?
Sort of, it must be what you all learn in journalism school because Liz would give me the. Now, Don. So, Liz Bowie, welcome to Baltimore Positive.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Are we all skeptical of our mothers? Is that part of the journalism thing? We have to ask.
That's the Pam Wood answer, right? Pam Wood told us, Liz, I like it. Liz said she describes journalism as this, that when your mother says that she loves you, when she tucks you in at night, you say to her, prove it. The sort of journalism 101. So Liz, talk about your journey. Now we're going to get into your history at the Sun and what's about to be for you, but talk about your journey over the past 18 months. Folks that followed the Save the Sun effort know that you were front and center with that and how invested you were. Talk about your emotional journey over the past 18 months, trying to save a place that would still function the way you wanted it to function after decades, and then deciding it for whatever reason it didn't happen, and then you had to look for new opportunities. Talk about your emotional journey over the past 18 months.
Well, I don't know if a little known fact is that my both my husband and my mother worked at the Sun, my mother at the Evening Sun, a very long time ago. So this is part of my family's history, really. And I really wanted so much for the Sun to become locally owned. And as you know, I reached out to people in the community, Bob Embry and Matt Gallagher and Ted Benatoulis, to try and help call in the fire trucks. But in the end, after a very tumultuous, long 18 months, we were unsuccessful in trying to wrest the Sun away from Alden Global Capital. Part of that journey involved, for me personally, involved working with reporters throughout Tribune, at other Tribune papers who did amazing work in their own communities to try to build interest from local owners, people who might be local owners. And I think, you know, one of the things that I learned in that journey was that there are people all over the country who really do have a deep concern about maintaining local news, that the newspapers are very valued in all of our communities. And I think it's remarkable that so many local owners people came forward to say, I would like to be a local owner. Unfortunately, those guys didn't win. But it really imbued me with a sense that this is a mission that isn't just important in Baltimore, but it's important across the country. And that there are people who are really working and thinking hard about it, maybe a little too late, but at least it started. And so I've been really taken or enthusiastic about the sort of whole idea of how do we create a new model for journalism, for sustaining local news. So when Stuart Bainum was unsuccessful in getting both the Sun and Tribune, which would just have been an amazing thing if he had gotten it, and he came close. Then when he started talking about the idea of a new startup, it was intriguing to me. I think he's going about it in all of the right ways. So I'm really enthusiastic to join him. I will say that as part of my journey through trying to save the newspaper, I argued vehemently that a startup wouldn't work, that there was not going to be, you know, it wasn't the same. You could save the legacy newspapers. That was one of my pitches as I talked to people around the country. So it's really a 180-degree turn for me.
You've been on an amazing journey. What? Talk about that pivot then. So, you're saying, look, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Oh, it's not going to work, but I'm going to work there. So talk about that pivot and what made you, and I would imagine our good friend that we all miss each and every day. I'm guessing that our good friend Ted Venatulis was one of the key players in trying to show you the way that it could work.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're faced with a hedge fund that you know is not a good owner, you have to think about other things. And I don't think that we're going to get the Sun away from Alden Global Capital. I just don't think that's
Liz, reasonable. Why is it so attractive to them? I mean, that would be my question. And I want to go backwards in all this because, look, man, I was a kid growing up, traveling around, cutting newspaper clippings. All I ever wanted to do was be a newspaper reporter. That's all I ever wanted to be. I was at the News American when I was 15. I was colleagues. I know your husband well, and you and I were in the same newsroom back in the late 1980s and early 90s. And my dad on his deathbed was upset at me that I didn't stay at the Sun to get a gold watch. I was 23 when I left in 1992, 30 years ago. And all these years later, I think about I was a colleague of Mike Preston. Dan Rodericks is like a weird uncle to me. So all these people that have been in my life all these years that I've watched stay there, including folks like you from afar, and Jeff Barker, just people that I've known through sports that I worked with. And I've seen Save the Sun, and we participated because I can't imagine there not being a newspaper, especially with how many corrupt mayors we've had, what's going on, education, the things that you've reported on, how important journalism is, in a way that when I was out carrying a picket sign back in 1987, walking up and down Calvert Street trying to on the union side, that I never thought it would degrade to this level where we're real. And you're one of the reasons you're probably leaving is questioning whether it's really going to be there 10 years from now and in what format, because it's been so debilitated, it's been so downgraded, that it's a shame to me. It's all I've ever wanted to be a part of is journalism. So for you to say Alden Capital and they're the bad guys and they're the Grinch of all of this, I don't understand how they make money out of killing something. I've had a hard time understanding that as a guy that's tried to build a media company here the last 30 years.
They're making a lot of money, as you know, every year, because they just reduce costs. And the, you know, what is not very well understood, I think, nationally, is that these newspapers are still profitable, and they're still making enough money that it's interesting to
now. Where's that revenue stream? It's not really coming from people paying a dollar to buy a hard newspaper.
Yes, it is. Well, it's coming from subscriptions and advertising, the same places it's always come from. It may be smaller than it was in 2000, but there's still a revenue stream.
Somebody told me, let me interrupt you just for a second, because this gets to Nestor's question, what you're talking about. Full disclosure, I months ago stopped the print edition, and that was hard for me. I'm an old guy. I'm a guy that likes to wake up.
He is a very old guy.
With a cup of coffee and have the paper in my hands. I mean, that's, you know, since I was a little kid, I mean, you know, since I was a weird little kid, probably 9 or 10 years old, and didn't read a lot of other stuff, but I read that sports page every day. I read Bill Tanton and the others every single day. And so for me to give up print was tough. And, you know, that was probably 6-9 months ago and went totally digital. Someone told me yesterday, a credible source, that they just got their new bill for the complete package with the Sun, the Daily, Sunday Sun, what have you, and that it's now, under Alden's leash, $100 a month. I mean, that's,
can I tell,
I mean, that's
story?
A lot of money, $100
Liz,
a month.
You're going through the banner, and I don't want to tell Dan Rodericks this, so if Dan's out there, I hope he doesn't listen. But I subscribed to The Sun back when I was considering running for public office. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I bought one of the deals, right? Dollar for 13, whatever it was, gave my credit card number, popped it in. I was getting the emails every day and, you know, reading enough to maybe make it worth a dollar a day or whatever it was. Then I started hitting my credit card, to your point, and I needed to get rid of it. And this was during the plague. So this was after I decided to not run for anything, summer of 2020. By like August of 2020, so a year and a half ago, I wanted to cancel my subscription. Don, I've never told you this because I know it'll piss you off. So I held this off for a great segment. Do you know how hard it was for me to get that off my credit card bill? I had to call someone in the Philippines. I was on hold for 45 minutes listening to music. The person came on. They were very hard to understand from an accent perspective, and they had a script. And I said, just want to cancel my subscription to the Baltimore Sun. Take the $57 a month off my credit card. Please do this. Well, sir, you do know that we... No, really, I've been on hold 45 minutes. I'm angry that you're a scam business, that I can't click and cancel my subscription, that I have to actually call you, which is code word for scam to anyone under the age of 30. Like, it's just, you don't do business with people that you can't click and cancel, that they're into your credit card. And they were into my credit card. I'm a couple hundred dollars deep. And it took me an hour. It took me 5 or 6 long-winded objections where this person was reading me a script about how, well, you do know if you remain with the Baltimore Sun, and he couldn't even pronounce Baltimore. Like, it was unbelievable. I have not admitted that on the air. That's my first go with it. But that was, I was a caged animal. I couldn't get rid of the subscription without investing an hour and sitting on hold and being resold 5 times. The guy just didn't want to let my credit card go. It was unbelievable.
Liz, jump back in here. I'm assuming that this whole discussion sort of gets to what you're saying, that Alden Capital has a model that they know will, they don't care about the journalistic side. They don't care if Liz Bowie's writing great stories and attending board meetings late at night. They care what it looks like at the end of a fiscal year. And I'm assuming, Liz, as you did your due diligence on all this, they have a number that if they can hit that number, they're comfortable, right? At the end of a year, it's not about journalism. Am I stating that accurately, Liz?
I don't think it is about journalism. I think it's completely about the bottom line. And I think they don't care at all what's going on. And I don't see any, I see very little pressure or influence they're exerting since June on anything at all.
Banner can work in your mind? I mean, you're making a huge decision to make this move. To me, the banner can work because the other thing's just so dysfunctional. And people like us want something. There's always going to be a need for something there, but it needs to be sold as important as it is, because it's really important to our society to have people like you doing this work.
I mean, I think the banner will work because we will be writing a lot of really good stories. And I think the money that is made off subscriptions will go be plowed right back into the journalism. So the whole effort is going to be towards quality journalism. At The Sun, all the profits are being sucked out of it. And, you know, there are fewer and fewer reporters there. I will say there are still great, great reporters there and great editors. You know, there are only four of us or something who are now going to the banner right now. I'm sure they will hire more people, but and I think that The Sun intends to keep hiring. At least that's my understanding so far. I think they've already written a job description for my job. So what
Superwoman.
What I see is happening actually is a really, really interesting time coming to Baltimore over the next, I mean, once the banner is up and has launched sometime this spring, we don't have a date yet. I see a really interesting time because you will have essentially another newsroom the size of The Sun's reporting on stories. So you'll basically be doubling the reporting capacity. And I think there's going to be a great war going on between the banner and the Sun in terms of the journalism. You know, we'll want to beat our competition.
Well, let's talk logistics a little bit. And again, for those of you tuning in, we're with longtime Sun reporter, most recently known for all of her great work in education, Liz Bowie. Liz, after 35 years with The Sun, and we're gonna go back.
She's not
to
even 35 years old. How's
we're
that
gonna,
possible?
Oh, you sweet talker, you. We're gonna take you back. Going to take you back to the beginning here in a few minutes. But talk logistics for a minute, because kids like Nestor, who grew up, they had an image of a newsroom, and he ended up in a newsroom. Those of us who have watched All the President's Men and, you know, older, the front page and all that stuff. We have an image.
We had hot metal type at the News American. That's how old. I went in there in 84 and it was like metal, man.
So that
imagination
becomes,
in the 80s.
I was at the News American in 86.
Then we were together there too. We were colleagues at two different places. And
there
I know
you
your
go.
Husband and I don't know you. How was
there
that possible?
You go. You must have been, you were on a different floor. But Liz, take us, will the banner, first of all, and this is, I'm going to, you know, for everybody involved out there, our listeners, please follow carefully the Baltimore banner, Venetulwis Institute, what it's doing, what it's trying to do. They're going to need you to subscribe if you believe in local journalism. And I always tell the story, Liz. And I hope more people out there like this, but I always pay tribute to my former boss, Jim Smith, the day that the Baltimore Examiner went out of business. And it was either a TV reporter or maybe it was someone from The Sun, I can't remember, said to me, and the Examiner was pretty conservative. They were tough on Jim and me and others. And they said, I guess County Exec is a happy guy today, right? And I said, I know Jim Smith pretty well. I think I know his answer, but give me a second. So I walked down his office and said, hey, boss. I said, some other reporters want to know if you're happy that the Examiner's out of us. And, of course, he looked at me like I had 10 heads. He said, we talk? Of course not. He said, we need a free press is absolutely critical to keeping us all in line, making us all accountable, and it's important to democracy. And so what I say to folks out there, if you believe that, make sure that when you have the opportunity, you'll be subscribing to the banner, because they are going to have a great, great group of reporters who will be driving people like me crazy, who are still out there doing that job, and that's what they should do. But Liz, is there still, let's take two examples, because I think people want to know in a digital age, is there still a newsroom where there's a buzz at the sun where people are comrades and milling around the water cooler? And will there be one at the Banner? Will there be a newsroom at
the
Banner?
Will there be an Ernie Imhoff? Tell me there'll be a Jim Day and a Jack Lemmon and a Jack Gibbons. Tell me.
There is a newsroom for the Baltimore Sun. We're not in it, and we haven't been in it since March 2020. So we've been operating virtually, and it's really hard. I think the Sun has, and my colleagues at the Sun are wonderful, and we have a really collaborative, wonderful spirit in that newsroom.
We call them budget meetings, right? You come in and you throw ideas, and what are we going to talk about today, right?
Yeah.
How are we going to go after Mueller today and call out government, right? Literally.
So I hope that the Sun newsroom will survive. They're moving out of the Port Covington plant. So the newsroom is connected to the printing presses. So I think the future of whether there's a newsroom or not is in question. There will be a Banner newsroom, and it will be, I think it's being announced today, so maybe I shouldn't give away any secrets.
Well, if we promise not to post this until tomorrow, then you can give it up.
Okay, so it will be...
There you go, Nestor. Don't post this today. Go ahead.
It's going to be in... on the harbor, in the power plant building. And there's, I think they've leased 10,000 square feet of space. There'll be a great newsroom that can hold up. I don't know whether the newsroom, there's still space for 100 journalists in that space, but there is room for 100 people.
Is that exciting to you, Liz, to returning to a newsroom?
Yes, I cannot wait to get back into a newsroom, because that's where you can really hash out ideas, and you can talk to people about, you know, what's happening on their beats. And there's a lot of collegiality and a lot of just mashing of ideas around. The other thing that happens is that, you know, younger reporters come in and they sit next to people who've been there forever, and they can listen to different styles of interviewing and kind of learn a lot of things and create their own style, I think. But also we do a lot of reporters working and editors working together, do a lot of problem solving around stories in newsrooms. And so I will really look forward to returning to a physical.
So what will the kid right out of University of Maryland School of Journalism who gets plopped down next to Liz Bowie, what is Liz Bowie's style that's evolved over the years?
I don't know. I think I've gotten nicer over the years.
It's all those soft skills is what it is, right? It's all those talking to people. Liz, he starts talking about newsrooms and stuff, and I'm thinking about the first time I got off the elevator, 15 years old, at South Street, up on the third floor overlooking Lombard Street in the old News American newsroom. Don, it was just like all the President's Men, just dirtier in like 1950s, right, Liz?
That newsroom was pretty run down, yeah.
I'm thinking that's not what it's going to look like at the Banner. Liz Bowie is our
guest. I don't think so.
She is at the Baltimore Sun, but soon to be at the Baltimore Banner, and been doing this. When did you begin at the Sun? Because my start date was January 6, 1986.
I started on July 14th. 1986.
Oh, so you were at the news time. When it went down then. Because the News American went out of business on May 27th of 86. And I was sitting in the news, the Evening Sun, happy that I still had a job. I was 17 years old. So you were part, like when John Steadman and those folks came, you were part of that.
Yes. And in fact, a friend of mine, Sherry Venema, who is a reporter at the News American at the time, we wrote the last story about the last breaking story for the News American about Levitt's sentencing.
I have that. I have it downstairs. So long, yeah. Baltimore. I was going to put it on my wall. That's what it was.
I went up to I came back from the courthouse because I was going to be the first one to file for the first edition. And Sherry was staying in the courthouse to cover the rest of the Leavitt sentencing. So I came into the newsroom and it was empty. And this was like an hour before deadline. So something was clearly wrong. And somebody, I think it was somebody just walking through said, you need to go up to the upstairs. So I went upstairs and I was like, oh, okay, this is the end. And I just went up to my editor and I said, can I still write my story? So he said, yeah. So I ran back downstairs and started writing.
Chase, we got to chase it, right? Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I had Mark Hyman on the show a couple of weeks ago. Mark was a mentor to me and a colleague of yours. Mark was in the Oakland airport flying to Anaheim for an Orioles series. And he said that Rosenthal and the guys at the Sun just put him up for 3 days in California because he didn't have a job anymore. So, I mean, everybody was, when newspapers go out of business, it's when anything like that happens, but you're going into business. And, you know, for this thing with the banner, you must have having these old stories from the News American, bringing it to the banner. This is why they want someone like you. When they tap you on the shoulder and say, we have an opportunity for you to start something new, that I can imagine there must be an incredible pep in your step in the coming months for what you tried to do at the Sun and now what you're trying to literally seed for the next generation. I mean, it's really exciting. It's exciting to have you on and even talking about this stuff that I love.
So one of the great things that's been done that I think will make the banner successful is that Stuart Bainum has decided to sort of start with the business side of the model. I think a lot of news startups are started by discontent journalists who are furious and leave wherever they are and then decide to go start their own publication. The problem with that is we aren't good at the back end, the business stuff. And I think Stuart has very wisely decided to really spend the money and the time and the effort to hire the right people on the business side and get that up and running before he hired Kimi Yoshino to do the start the journalism side.
Liz, give folks before we let you get out of here, and I do want to end with asking you to turn the Wayback Machine on because I think it provides folks an insight to how deep journalism is in your blood. But give folks, again, we're talking the Baltimore Banner. We're encouraging everyone to please follow it. Pay attention to the Venatoris Institute for Journalism. Get ready to subscribe. They need you to subscribe. Give folks, here we are talking in January now of 2022. We know they're beginning to build capacity. Give us, sort of walk us through the next 6 to 9 months and what people will see coming from the banner and when they can expect to actually be able to get it on their phone in the morning.
I hope that, I think Kimi has been trying to hire as quickly as possible, but also thoughtfully. And I think you will see announcements of more and more hires coming every week or every few weeks. You'll hear another person has been hired for the banner. I think that we will start some kind of online presence in May-ish. I'm certainly not making a part of that decision-making process, so I don't have any real clarity on it. But, and I think that as the year goes on, I hope that we build our newsroom into a really lively place that can produce journalism that not only does investigative and deeper takes on issues, but also provides a space for new voices from throughout the community. There's a very deep commitment to diversity of voices at the banner being on our website. And I think there's also going to be a more diverse newsroom. And I think you'll go to the banner website and see I hope, very interesting columns by people from the community, as well as longer pieces you want to dig into, as well as the news, the breaking news.
Well, Liz Bowie, thanks for it. Hey, Liz, Nestor shared with us his sort of, he took us in the Wayback Machine as a little kid, all he ever wanted to do. Before you jump out of here, because you're starting this new venture, when did Liz Bowie realize she wanted to be a journalist? How did that happen? Was it at Skidmore or was it before Skidmore?
Oh, it's a pretty boring story.
Well, bore us. Go ahead and bore us.
I think, you know, I majored in American Studies, and I at first wanted to be a researcher for Time Magazine because I thought that would be kind of interesting. But then Time Magazine told me to go be a reporter. So I said, okay, I'll do that. But once you're a reporter, you really don't want to turn over your notes. What's the point? That's stupid. You want to write the story and you want to go after it. So my apologies to all researchers out there. but I think it kind of came gradually. I'd been listening to my mom talk about stories about the newsroom and her love of being in the newsroom and writing. For my entire life. So it was sort of part of who I was.
Well, thank you for that. Nestor, I knew you would love this segment. I think Liz is still working on some breaking news. So we may have her on sooner rather than later, but Liz, hopefully you become a regular when you're at the Baltimore Banner, because there's going to be really good stuff coming out of that newsroom.
Liz, do you miss the frosted mix and the crab melts and the onion rings at Burke's as much as I do?
No, not at all.
Oh, there you go.
Well, you know, just an old newspaper haunt that's gone. That's now a Royal Farms. I love the Royal Farms. It's the closest Royal Farms to my house, but I do miss the onion rings. I'll be honest with you. I do. Liz, great to have you on. Well, next time we see you, we'll be down at down on the Harbor Way and opening a newsroom, and we'd love to have you on and talk about education and important things and whether these kids should be in school or remote learning, important things like that.
Great. Thanks so much.
Hope you get the masks off before then. Don Moeller is the former Baltimore County executive. We do a thing called Baltimore Positive around here. A lot of it's sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play and get back out to doing community crab cakes and doing all that. But in the meantime, we're laying low here during January, having some great conversations and getting ready for a new newspaper in town, the Baltimore Banner, coming in. Great to have Liz Bowie join us. And hi to Dan. Make sure you say, tell Dan Nestor said hello. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.